I do want to say again, though, you know, when it comes to this whole business of talking with someone, really take time to scope people out. And if at all possible, try to scope people out carefully enough, thoroughly enough, and far enough in advance that you can hopefully have determined who is worthy of your trust before you're in a critical situation. And notice this. Paul had people he could call upon in different parts of the world. He didn't have just that one small, close-knit of people, his support network in just one city. And that was it. Once he left that city, it was over. As much as you can, try to locate people who are different places. And keep this in mind, too. This is very important, especially now that we can contact people through phones, email, etc. It may not be that difficult to find people we can call on when we're in need, when we're anxious about something, we're worried about something, we're being stressed by some kind of situation in our lives. One of the reasons that it can be good to have several people instead of just one person who you can rely on is because sometimes we can be going through something that is so intense, but also so prolonged that one person may not have the time or the energy, the emotional energy, to stay with us on this until we're finally out of the storm. If it's going to take weeks, maybe months, because there are some people in our lives who bring dark drama into our lives, sometimes for months, sometimes for years, sometimes for decades. And after a while, you just need to talk with someone. It's a good idea to have identified several people, not necessarily 10 or 12 people, but several people, maybe four, five, six people, three or four at least, who you can talk with. And you sense that one person is about, they've gone about as far as they can with this, as far as their emotional energy, et cetera, you can call on someone else and pick up where you left off with the previous person. Don't get upset with people because this is just a fact of life. None of us can take but so much pain. Even when it comes to secondary pain that comes from talking with other folks about what they're going through. This is a challenge even for people who are professionals in the mental health field. So if you find yourself needing a break from that kind of thing, don't feel bad about yourself. We are not God. I guarantee you, the only person I can think of who can have all of that just poured onto him and he not get tired, not get worn out, is God. So keep that in mind. You want to make sure that of all the persons who are part of your support network, the Almighty God is at the top of the list. He recognizes, he realizes that we need some time to be talking with another human, and he's okay with that. But make sure that you continue to talk with him as well. All right. Verse 16, when we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the leaders of the Jews. When they had assembled, Paul said to them, "My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans." These were some of the basic accusations that his accusers were making against him, that he was trying to overturn the customs of their ancestors. "They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. But when the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar. Not that I had any charge to bring against my own people. For this reason, I've asked to see you and to talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain." They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of the brothers who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking about this sect. They were calling Christianity a sect, S-E-C-T, sect. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. That was all the Bible they had at that point. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe, refused to believe, stubbornly rejected the truth. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, by design, I'm not commenting on those last verses that I read, the last passages of that chapter, simply because my goal was not to go through this whole chapter and talk about the whole chapter. My focus was resiliency, and I wanted us to pick out scriptures that indicated how we could go about the business of developing resilience. So just remember, as we read through Acts chapter 27 and 20, Acts 27 and 28, we looked at several instances where resilience came into play. And just to kind of briefly recap, we noticed that one of the ways that resilience came into play was by Paul being able to talk with friends who were able to strengthen him when things were really, really rough. How about on the ship when they were heading towards shipwreck? An angel of God helped Paul bounce back. Things were looking dismal for the whole crew, including Paul. And an angel of God was sent by God to strengthen Paul and to encourage him. And he did so. Let that angel let him know, hey, you know what? The ship is going to be torn up, but you and everyone else on this ship will be all right. Y'all going to make it. You're going to make it to land. Paul, in turn, encouraged the rest of the people on the ship with that same news, that same information, and helped them bounce back, helped them be encouraged. He met with friends again, and that's a reality. Sometimes we're going to need to meet with friends more than once. Remember, we got to take care of our bodies as well. Paul encouraged the people to eat. They needed to take food because they were going to need it to survive. And how many times have we eaten when we've gone so long without food and that even the first bite just brought us back to life? All right. Stay with me. More on Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. in just a few.